Well, here was the order. A hat stand. A wall mirror. A plant. A floor lamp. A pair of shoes. A coat. And finally, a measuring tape. Does anyone here know or remotely have a thought about what I am talking about? It's hard to get everything we want into one tiny, elegant package. It can be a rare and beautiful thing. And when it's done right, it makes us sit up a little and pay a bit more attention. What I just described to you, brethren, were the items that were taken out of a bag by Mary Poppins. Who's seen the movie Mary Poppins? Okay, Mary Poppins arrives, then she's in her room, the children are watching, and she opens up her carpet bag and begins to take all these huge items out of this small bag, and they're just like, wow! They can't believe it. The little boy crawls under the table to see if there's got to be something going on there. There's no hole there. The items just continually come out. Suffice to say, big things in a little package. In so many ways, that describes the church, brethren, you think about it. Big things in little packages. Earlier this year, Mr. Doug Johnson wrote in the spring of this year describing the growth of the church in Canada. He said, quote, "The number of people who attend services in the Church of God, a worldwide association, totals less than 100 in 6 congregations. That's up from 4 in the previous year. Of course, for you number people, that means there's been a 50% increase in the number of our congregations in Canada, going from 4 to 6. Big things in small packages. Several years ago, we had no feast sites in Canada. This year, we have 2. And Mr. Taylor was describing a lot of the Americans are going up to British Columbia. Not that far away, you know, as far as when you think international, it's just across the border, but that site is full. The second site is in Quebec, a small site designed primarily to serve the needs of our French-speaking Canadian brethren. So from 0 to 2 feast sites. That's big. Big things in small packages. Some of you have, of course, in your years of schooling, taken science and no doubt have done chemistry, have performed all kinds of lab work. No doubt you did something in regards to volume. Volume. Density, where you can take something that appears to be the same size, but find out there's more to it than meets the eye. For example, I have 3 little boxes here. They all look the same. They're made the same. They're wrapped with a rubber band. If I just place them in front of you, I said, now, what's different about these 3 boxes? You can't touch it. Just tell me what's different. And you say, well, I don't know. The rubber band's kind of crooked on that one, but I really don't know really what is the difference. They look the same. And so it can appear. But what we'll find out here in just a moment, my friends, looks aren't everything. Some people may wonder, well, they're pretty small. What of any amount of value could come in such a box? Well, we'll find out here in just a moment. When you talk about things like weight and size, what is the difference? Well, the formula goes like this. Density is mass divided by volume. When two things are the same size, the heavier one is more dense. So, of my three little boxes up here, who's the champion? Well, how about if I just drop them? What do you think? A little heavier? Is that the champ? Number three is the champ. Box number one contained nothing more than just a little fluffy paper. Box number two contained a matchbook and a zip drive. Box number three has a rock in it. Although they appear the same, box number three had a greater density. When we talk about God's people, brethren, we can appear so small in the eyes of many people. Oh, you're just a small little church. You know, you don't have a whole lot of people, a whole lot of congregations. What kind of work are you guys doing? And we can appear to be the little light, fluffy box. But brethren, I submit to you, we're more like box number three. For an example, I'm sure some of you have already read it, our booklet on the United States and Britain and the Commonwealth, that book has got some density to it. It's got some weight to it. It has taken the Word of God and given it to people and saying, have you ever considered this? So, to me, that particular booklet, for those who are somewhat against the blessings of the birthright nations, when you pull those scriptures together and you see what has happened over the years, brethren, where else in this world are you going to find those blessings? But in this nation and the UK. You can find it in Africa? Show me. Show me Ephraim and Manasseh in Africa. You know, show me where that's happened there. Show me where it's happened in Russia. It's not there. It's not there. How about South America? Oh, yeah, a lot of nice things down there, a lot of nice resources, but show me. It's not there. There's density in the body of Christ. We may look small, and in many ways we are small, by the world standards, but again, brethren, there are big things in these small packages. Turn, if you will, to Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4. In so many ways, God always starts things small. Small. Some of Jesus' most powerful examples and parables began with things that were small. In Mark chapter 4, he's about to describe a parable about the kingdom of God. In verse 30, he says this, "To what shall we liken the kingdom of God? Or with what parable shall we picture it?" Well, it's like a mustard seed, the smallest of seeds. You're saying the kingdom of God is like a mustard seed? Which, because you see, brethren, it doesn't stay that way. Something happens to it. Which, when it is sown on the ground, is smaller than all the seeds on the earth. But when it is sown, it grows up and becomes greater than all herbs and shoots out large branches so that the birds of the air may nest under its shade. How much is placed inside that small seed, brethren? How much did God put in that little seed to make him grow so large that birds want to nest there? Once it's planted and cultivated and watered and cared for, it is destined for greatness. The kingdom of God is like Mary Poppins' perfectly packed bag. You can get a lot into it, and it just never stops. It goes on and on and on. It is eternal. There is so much potential. And there's always a surprise in store. Think about that little seed, brethren. And I'd like to ask this question. How much was planted in you? Well, how did you begin?
Were you huge when you began?
Were you small? Were you tiny? I know I didn't grow up in the church, so I knew what I was when God called me. I was nothing. When the minister came over to my home and was asking me questions, I sat there mute. I didn't know any of the answers. And I remember him saying, you know, Todd, do you know what your potential is? No. Because I didn't know. So he begins to go through. Now, read this. So I'm reading the verses, you know, dogs after the dog's kind, this after like that kind. That, that. He said, now, what kind are you after? And I said, oh, no. So you can be after the God kind. And I said, that's scary. Should you even be saying that? That's scary. I'm after the God kind? He said, who created you? I said, oh, my mother had me. He said, who's your creator? I said, God is. He said, you're going to be as he is one day. And I was mute again. I didn't even know what to say to that. What does that even mean? What happens? What do you do? Our coming king told his disciples, the growth begins with conversion. Matthew chapter 18. Matthew chapter 18. Talk about things working together here. The hymn we just sang just fits right in, that God is calling children, because that's what I was. I didn't know anything. In Matthew chapter 18, we begin in verse 1. At that time, the disciples came to Jesus saying, or in many ways asking, who then is greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Then Jesus called a little child to him, set him in the midst of them, and said, assuredly I say to you, unless you are converted and become as little children. And again, we have to understand, he's not talking about being childish. He's talking about being childlike. Little child's inquisitive. They want to know. They're beautiful to behold. They're trusting. He's saying, you have to be like this. If you're not, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself as this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Whoever receives one little child like this in my name, he says, receives me. That humble heart, that humble nature, desiring to know, wanting to know. When a new person is called into the church and they come into the congregation, they are that babe. And God has an expectation of those within that congregation to do what, brethren? Help them. Model for them righteousness, godliness, the fruit of the Spirit, to answer their questions, to serve them. Because you know what? That little child is going to grow up one day, spiritually. And based upon how he was taught within that congregation, it's going to have a lot to say about the conversion process. Jesus says, if you receive them and you do what you're supposed to do, and you do it, you're receiving me, he says. He's saying what, brethren? Big things are in this little package. My Father planted something there. Ensure that it grows. The greatest are those who have, through conversion and the receiving of God's Holy Spirit. Now, in large part, we're still ignored by the world. They see you walking around, they have no idea you have God's Spirit in you. So physically, you haven't grown into this big, massive tree. But spiritually speaking, brethren, you have grown. It is God's desire that you grow. You are to become something big from that small package. Just like that mustard seed. Again, we just sang the hymn. God is calling what? Children. To what? His royal family. It's his family. And so those of us who are also children in his sight, having been taught through his Spirit, have a responsibility. Because not too far down, brethren, in this chapter, you're going to see Jesus Christ coming to the defense of these little ones. It's not a mistake. He tells them something about these little packages, these little ones. Look at verse 6. He says, whoever causes one of these little ones that my Father has called in, whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him if he drowned himself. Now, how serious is that? It would be better if you outfitted yourself with a millstone. Put it around your neck and hopped into the sea. He says, this is serious business. Woe, he says, to the world because of offenses. For offenses must come. But woe to that man who should have done a responsible job in helping that little one, and they did not do it. Woe to that man by whom the offenses comes. Verse 10. Take heed that you do not despise one of these little ones. For I say to you that in heaven their angels always seek the face of my Father who is in heaven. You know, one of the cutest transitions in the world is to watch children rise up from play and walk somewhere together. Now, at the Winter Family Weekend, we've worked with the preteens for many years. And especially the young ones, the 4 to 6-year-olds. They're down there playing, and then we say, okay, who's got to go have a potty break? And they all raise their hands. So, okay, let's all stand up together. And they stand up together. They say, all right, let's get in two lines. And they get in two lines. Is everybody ready? Ready! And they start walking. Now, while they're walking, they're twirling around. You know, they're holding hands. They're hopping up and down. They're talking as they go. But sometimes, I'm down on the other end with the older preteens. I just have to watch it. It's so beautiful to see children having fun at play, at peace, being protected, watched over by those that love them and take care of them. A lot of people don't get to see that because, again, our congregations are smaller. So when you see about 20 little kids do that, unless you're at a feast site, that doesn't happen every week. But it stops you in your tracks because you just don't see that every day. They trust the adults to take them where they're going to go. And then they walk back with them at the conclusion, trusting them, placing their lives in their hands. They don't mind being led. They don't mind being led. And when it comes to being led by God, I hope you don't mind being led by God's Spirit, His power. Why? Because our instructors at the Winter Family Weekend, they desire that everybody makes it to and from their destination together. It is our Father's desire, brethren, that all that He has called makes it to their destination. That is His desire, that we reach it together. Romans chapter 8 tells us that willingness to be led like a little child, like a small package, that willingness, Romans 8, verse 14. One of my favorite verses in the entire Bible is this. For as many as are led by the Spirit, these are the sons of God. There's big things growing inside these little packages. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Daddy, Daddy, Abba, Father. You see, however you addressed your father in your house, ours it was Daddy. Oh, Daddy's home! And we'd all race to the window, plunk, look out the window just to make sure nobody lied. Oh yeah, you're right this time. He is home. Then we'd all go hide. Then Dad would come in the front door. We'd all jump him. Poor Dad against 5 wild children. But Daddy was home. We want to be with our Father, brethren. He wants to be with us. Jesus Christ wants to be with us. He wants us to abide with Him. Be with Him. And so does the Father. Because the Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, converted children, full of God's Spirit, who want to be with Him, then heirs, heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. You see, as we mature, those words take on just a deeper meaning. Heirs of God. To say that and not feel like, oh, I'm so haughty and great because I'm an heir of God. But to realize He wants that. He wants that. I mean, joint heirs with our high priest and elder brother? How do we even arrive at that? As a little child. As a little child. If indeed we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified together. Those little packages. It's also referred to in Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12. There's nothing more reassuring, brethren, than hearing God and Jesus Christ say time after time, do not be afraid. God says it time and again, do not be afraid. Jesus says, do not be afraid. Yet again, we find in Luke 12, verse 32, do not fear, little flock. Do not fear. Sure, there'll be times of trial, times of testing. But there's a great time of joy that's in our future. It is your Father's good pleasure, little flock, to give you the kingdom. He wants to do it. He wants to give you the kingdom. It's like I said, when you have a gift for a close friend or relative or spouse, you want to give it to them. Sometimes it's like, oh, I can't wait till I get home. Oh, it's got to be the end of the week. Oh, I want to give them this gift. So badly. The Father has waited and waited and is still waiting to give a gift to His children. It is His good pleasure to give you the kingdom. This little flock, brethren, is being prepared for big things. You'll hear about it at the Feast of Tabernacles. You are being prepared for huge things. Things that will take your breath away. Those of you who have worked in education have probably heard this poem recited from time to time. The author is unknown, but the poem is almost legendary. Quote, from seed to seedling, to sapling to tree, the years given in careful nurturing and gentle pruning will make a difference in the way an oak tree develops. Left to the wilds of nature, the sapling may become bent, gnarled, or broken, giving shade to no one. But if tended, a mighty oak grows strong and tall and wide, able to provide shade, relief, and beauty for a generation. As a teacher, you are the tender of these young seedlings. In you rests the hope of their mighty future. There's a story of a teacher who had been in his office for far too long. One day he decided It was time to go for a walk. As he was walking, he started to tune into his surroundings. He began to notice that many of the trees he was passing had begun to drop their seeds. This especially intrigued him, and he passed under an oak tree. He smiled to himself because there before him on the ground was squirrel paradise. Love those acorns. As he bent down to pick up the chunky little future big tree, he thought about the promise that lies before each tiny student as they walk through the door on their very first day ever of school. This is why teachers see the acorn as such a mighty symbol. He also observed seeds that were sharp and prickly, brown and prickly, green, smooth, and some were smelly. Seeds covered in a soft, chewy covering, a hard brown nut, and one with a rough brown exterior. He even found a pine cone, one Japanese beetle, and one cicada. As he looked at each, he began to see different students that he had taught over the years. Some of the students were soft, some were sharp and prickly. Some were hard-headed in their personalities, and yes, even some of them smelled a little bit. A little unkempt. Obviously, the student that showed great potential, even the soft, sensitive student. He even had students like the cicada and the Japanese beetle, seemingly to have come from another world. God calls people like that, brethren, doesn't he? He calls the soft and the sensitive. He calls the sharp and prickly. And yes, occasionally he calls the smelly. But you know what? They don't stay that way. They don't stay that way. He likes to start things small. Turn to Deuteronomy chapter 7. Deuteronomy chapter 7. When it came to his own people, brethren, look how he began. Deuteronomy chapter 7, beginning in verse 6. For you are a holy people to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you to be a people for himself, a special treasure above all the peoples on the face of the earth. The Eternal did not set his love on you, nor choose you because you were more in number than any other people. Nope, you were the least. You were the least of all people. But when it comes to the love of God, brethren, and love that is eternal, a love that defends his children, his little seeds that he's putting so much into. We are not to remain, brethren, the least. We are to grow. You know, our children are darling little packages when they're born. In time, however, all parents have that expectation. And what's that expectation? they grow up. That they grow up, that they mature, that they develop into something greater than the parents. That they grow strong. God has an expectation of his children, does he not, brethren? His little packages. His expectations, they grow. They learn. That they embrace his way of life. He expects big things from his children. Great things and mighty things. And they do have a great future. Each one of his little packages are unique. Fearfully and wonderfully made. In time, those seeds do grow. They grow into trees, and they in turn can teach others how to grow. Look at Hebrews chapter 5. Again, it's so very important that we grow. Why? There's other trees. There's other saplings behind us. Other seeds are being sown behind us. So it's incumbent upon those God has called. He gives us that time to grow and to mature. Hebrews 5, verse 12. Alas, some did not grow as they should have. For whatever reason, they didn't mature. They were still lacking. And so the writer of Hebrews, in essence, calls them out. Hebrews 5, verse 12. For though by this time you ought to be teachers. Why? You were taught. Someone mentored you, modeled for you the way. What happened? Unfortunately, you need someone to teach you again. The first principles of the oracles of God. And you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. So you're right back down there with the new babes coming in. When God called me and I went to my first Sabbath, again, not knowing very much, did I need another babe sitting by me who didn't know anything too? And hey, oh, let's hang out together and know nothing. I wanted to know. I wanted to know. Where am I going? Why did God call me? Why the holy days in the sequence they are? And people began to show me and tell me. Solid food. I began to retain it. For you see, that solid food belongs to those who are of full age. That is, those who by reason of use. You see, did we receive God's Holy Spirit just to say we could have it? Oh, I got a spirit. Are you using it? If you don't use it, you can weaken it. To the point where you can lose it. One who is a full age understands God's Spirit is to be used. They understand the power. So they use it. and they understand and can discern both. Both good and evil. Because it hits them in a way and says, you know, I want to steer clear of that. That is not where God resides. The opposite is also true. You go visiting into a congregation, you know, you go to the congregation in Los Angeles. God's Spirit is here. It's home. It's right here. I sense it. I'm going to just go right in and just embrace it. You discern it. That like-mindedness. And when we're doing that, brother, we're not going to grow up gnarled and bent spiritually. We're going to allow our light to shine. You know, this subject does not end with Hebrews 5. It carries over to the next chapter, where the big things are now expected from the small packages. Hebrews chapter 6 now. Hebrews 6, verse 9. But, beloved, we are confident of better things concerning you. Again, what? There's that expectation. God has an expectation of better things from us. With His Spirit, He expects that to happen. Bear fruit. Then He comes and trims you. For what reason? That you would bear more fruit. The expectation continues on and on. So, beloved, we are confident of better things concerning you, having matured, coming of full age. Oh, sure, still small in the sight of the world. The world says, oh, yeah, we like them and everything. They're all right, I guess, you know, but they're not the president of the company. Well, that's okay. But you are big. You are growing big. You are maturing. For you see, brethren, the spiritual maturity, your brethren see it. Those who knew you before you were baptized and know you after your baptism see it. They see the maturity. They see the growth. Verse 10. For God is not unjust to forget your work and labor of love which you have shown toward His name, in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. You're still taking care of the saplings and the seeds that He is calling. You're working in areas, watching little children who are born in the church and working in the programs. And being a part of their lives. And we desire that each one of you show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope until the end. That you do not become sluggish, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Mary Poppins sure took a lot of things out of that small carpet bag. Mostly they were items to decorate her room. One day in the future, God will see that a great deal is taken out of us. He's doing it right now. He's taking out things like carnality, selfishness, bitterness, jealousy, and He's putting in fruit of His Spirit, the power of His Holy Spirit, the love, the joy, the peace, the long-suffering. There's a lot of items that God is putting in these little packages. Romans 15. Romans chapter 15. Jesus said, "My Father works. He works with His children through His Spirit. He's taking out the bad and He's putting in the good." Romans 15, verse 14. "Now I myself am confident concerning you, my brethren, that you also are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, able also to admonish one another." Because we are being filled up with what, brethren? Righteousness, holiness, the fruit of God's Spirit, things that cause us to grow spiritually strong, spiritually mature, big things in little packages. We're not offended at being small in the sight of the world, especially when our King, in a vision, is likened to a ram, right? No. A lamb. That vision that John received in Revelation, it was a lamb. It wasn't a ram. But that lamb was only part. The end result is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. Revelation 5. I thought about King David. He was the total opposite of what King Saul was, wasn't he? Saul was the tallest. David was short and ruddy and good looking. How many people look at his stature? You know, we don't know how tall he was. Let's say 5'6". That's the king. You know. We don't know how tall his buddy Jonathan was. Maybe he's about 5'5". He's a short guy. He's running around. "You're the king and this is buddy." David's big. David's big. He's mature. He's huge. He's coming back to rule too. Revelation 5, verse 6. "And I looked, and behold, in the midst of the throne and of the four living creatures, and in the midst of the elders." Think about Jesus taking that little child, putting him in the midst of his disciples. Here in the midst of the elders is a lamb. As though it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. Then he, the Lamb, came and took the scroll out of the right hand of him who sat on the throne, the hand of the Father. Now when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each having a harp and a golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang. They sang a new song, saying, "You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals. For you were slain, and some thought that was the end. Okay, we got rid of him. Back business as usual. Not realizing that through that death, we were redeemed. He redeemed us to God by his blood. Out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, those little packages, that's you. You're going to be kings. You're going to be kings. Some may look and say, well, okay, David, I can understand, but AJ, oh, I knew him when he was 8 years old. How can this guy be a king? Oh, you don't realize why AJ's a king, do you? He grew. He matured. And he's going to reign, as shall all of us, brethren, on this planet that we heard in the opening prayer that Wendell gave, that is inundated with evil. It doesn't know what direction to go in, so it goes in all directions, hoping one of them was going to bring back peace. Well, the Prince of Peace is coming. And he's not going to be alone. And he's bringing little small packages with him. But those small packages are going to be like box number 3. When they hit, people are going to hear it. It's going to have a sound. Because it has substance. It has density. It has volume. Because they are full of God's Holy Spirit. And are here to preach and to teach the gospel of the kingdom of God. And we shall reign on the earth. Some are going to be happily shocked to see you in a robe and wearing a crown. While others may need a little help having fainted. You, they may ask as they recover, you're a king? Some may reason, but you are so small. Failing to realize that big things come in small packages. Finally, let's go to James chapter 4, brethren. Again, we understand it's nothing we earn. It is a gift from God. So we will continue to be who we are. James 4 and verse 10. Let us continue, brethren. Humble yourselves. Continue to make yourself small. In comparison to your God. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He is going to lift you up one day with eternal life and the kingdom of God. On the day of your change, brethren, the world will truly see that big things truly do come from small packages.